Thanks for joining us for another great message from Futures Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to futures.church. And now for our message.
Pastor Josh introduced a series last Sunday night called Why. And for the next few weeks on Sunday nights, we're going to be digging deeper and delving deeper into certain topics to really understand why certain things happen. And tonight, the topic that we are going to delve into is why do we suffer? I know. I felt like the air in the room just deflated like a balloon. Why do we suffer? How did I get this gig? I do not know. But I'm excited because I started preparing this a little bit like, oh no, what have I got myself into? By the end of it, I was very encouraged. And my prayer is that you will be also. Because talking about suffering is like saying tonight I'm going to talk about why do we do our tax returns? Or why it's important for regular checkups at the dentist. I'm glad a few of you laughed just then because that's the last time you're going to laugh tonight. It's all serious from here on in. It really was a lot. No, never mind. It's an important topic to address because the truth is we all go through hard times. It's inevitable in life and it's something important for us to talk about because it's something we all go through. You know, I have a privilege as a psychologist. I often get to sit with people in the hardest moments of their life. You know, some people, they're coming because they are consumed with anxiety or depression. Some people, it's because they're going through stressful situations at work. Some people, they're going through relationship difficulties or they're worried about their kids. Some people are going through grief and loss. Some people have chronic health conditions and they're in constant pain. Some people have been through trauma and abuse. There are all sorts of different ways that we go through suffering. It doesn't look the same for one person or the next person, but it is something very real that we go through at times. The truth is, if we want to grow and be mature as Christians, we need to have a theology of suffering. Because when it comes, and it comes in one form or another, if we don't understand biblically why we suffer, we can misinterpret and misunderstand what's going on. If we don't have a biblical-based understanding of why we suffer and the purpose of it, we start to get off track and maybe believe lies like, you know, God is punishing me or God doesn't care about me or maybe God isn't really good. So it's important that we do understand from a biblical perspective why suffering happens. It's also fitting to talk about suffering in the lead up to Easter because we remember that Jesus suffered, that he not only just gave up his life for us, but that he suffered, that he was tortured, humiliated, mocked, rejected. He went through an agonizing death. And it poses the question, and I don't know if you've ever asked this question before, why wasn't it just enough for Jesus to die? Why did he have to suffer? Why did he have to go through what he went through? We know he had to die, but why did he have to suffer? Well, that's the question that we're going to try and answer tonight. But just before we get to that, I want to first look at a few myths about suffering because it's important right from the beginning to get these myths out of the way because our perspective on suffering will influence how we go through suffering. The first myth about suffering that I want to address is, number one, myth number one, suffering happens because people deserve it. It's interesting in life that we ask questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? But I've never heard anyone ask, why do bad things happen to bad people? Wow. Funny, right? We don't ask that question because there is an underlying assumption that you should only go through bad times if you deserve it. Wow. We think that life should be fair. But we know as Christians that we live in a broken world. It's not the way that God wanted it to be, but when sin entered the world, so did pain and suffering. Now, the good news is it's not going to be that way forever. You know, Revelation tells us in the end there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And it says this in Revelation 21:4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Spoiler alert, I've got good news for us all. At the end, there is no suffering. There will be no suffering at the end. At the end, things will be made new. We won't live in a broken world anymore. But in the meantime, we go through hard times because life is not perfect. And so for now, at least, it's something we face. But we get to hold on to, in the end, all suffering will be gone. Myth number two, suffering happens because God is punishing you. Now, when people go through suffering, it is easy to point the finger at God and go, well, he's distant and he's mean, and obviously you've done something wrong and he is punishing you. But that is not what we see about the character of God in the Word of God. Job is a great example of this common perspective, that if things go really bad, it's because you've done something real bad and God is out to get you. When Job lost his family, his livelihood, and his health, all his friends assumed that he had sinned and God was punishing him. But the story of Job tells us it wasn't because he deserved it, nor was God punishing him. It was the enemy who caused the suffering, and yet God allowed him to use it to test Job's faith. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 8 to 12, "Then the Lord asked Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil.'" Job was doing good. Job hadn't done anything bad to be punished for. Job was going great. But Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, you may test him," the Lord said to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. God was commending Job. He wasn't being punished. It was the enemy who caused Job to suffer, not God. God allowed him to be tested, and he did so with a greater purpose in mind. And we'll come back to that in a moment. Myth number three, if you are a Christian, you are exempt from suffering. It's an interesting one. The truth is, as Christians, we don't have a get out of jail free card when it comes to suffering. We don't get to pass on suffering. It would be nice if we did. It says in the Bible, in fact, Jesus made it very clear that we would suffer and go through hard times. John 16, verse 33 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows." Jesus is saying that we will have suffering. It's inevitable at some point in your life. But good news again, there is a part two to this verse. He goes on and then says, "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." Do you know what the difference is? Yes, suffering is inevitable, but as Christians, we don't do it alone. As Christians, we have Jesus who has overcome everything that we can rely on. We can be victorious in our suffering. All right, the last myth is you wouldn't be suffering if you had more faith. Ooh, it's a hard one. You know, one of the hard balances to hold as a Christian is to hold on to the fact that God can do anything. He can heal. He can raise people from the dead. Nothing is too hard for God. And yet sometimes he doesn't answer every prayer in the way and the timing that we want. That's often where the place of suffering is. It can be difficult to hold the tension of knowing that God can do anything, but he doesn't always, again, in the way that we want. I want to look at the example of Paul. He states that something is tormenting him. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, he says, "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That is why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul wasn't suffering because he didn't have enough faith. But there was purpose that God had in not removing his suffering, because there was a level of power and strength that he was able to experience through that suffering. Which brings us to the next point. Well, what's the point of suffering? You know, we've established that at some point every person goes through hard times, but that there is purpose to it. And so there's a few things I want to look at that we can hold on to when we go through difficult seasons of pain or hardship. What is the purpose of suffering? Well, the first thing is our character is developed. Romans 5, 3 to 5 says this: "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You know, just like your fitness cannot grow unless you increase your endurance, or your muscles can't grow unless you exercise them, you can't grow and in resilience and character unless you face hard situations. Our character doesn't grow and develop unless it goes through hard and testing times, and we don't give up, but we continue to put our hope and trust in God. Number two, what is the purpose of suffering? Our faith is perfected. 1 Peter 1:6 to 7 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though when your faith remains strong and through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Going through trials tests our faith. You know, you don't really know what you know until it's been tested. Why do they refine gold by putting it through fire? Because it burns away all the impurities. You know, we build our life on God. We build our life on his word. But the truth is, in life, there are things that creep in. You know, it might be reliance on other things. It might be reliance on money or status or areas of sin creep in. When our faith is tested by fire, those impurities burn away and we are left on our foundation with our faith in God and God alone. Next purpose of suffering, number three, we can comfort others. 2 Corinthians 1:3 to 5 says this: "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ." I love this point. I love that sometimes it's not even all about us. I love that when we go through hard times, God is there to comfort us. But there is something too where we get to bring comfort to other people because of the comfort that God's shown us. What a beautiful point. Sometimes the things we go through, there is a bigger perspective and there is something that we can do in bringing comfort to others, the comfort that God has first shown us. What a beautiful gift. Number four, why do we go through suffering? Well, we become more like Jesus. Paul writes something very bold in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. He says this: "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience resurrection from the dead. I'm like, Paul, I like what you said at the beginning there. I want to know Christ. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I'm not sure if I want to suffer with him sharing in his death. First part sounded good. Last part sounded good. Don't know how I feel about the middle part. But the Bible is clear all throughout the New Testament that through our suffering, we are transformed into becoming more like Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter what your suffering is, whether it's disappointment or frustration or some other tragedy you've gone through, God's purpose for these experiences are for us to be more like Christ. Look at these verses in Romans 8. Paul writes this. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And then a little bit later, he says this, and this is a verse we all know quite well if you've been in church for a while. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." But the very next verse that we very rarely quote in context of God works all things to good is, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that they might be the firstborn among many brothers." Now, we love when we go through hard times to say, "And God will turn all things for good for those whom he loves and are called according to his purpose." And don't get me wrong, I totally wholeheartedly believe that God turns things around. That, you know what, the enemy has used for evil. What's that song? "He will turn it to..." I can't sing. Anyway, God loves to turn things around. God loves to turn and take impossible situations and turn it to good. God loves to do miracles. There is no doubt about it. But I think sometimes we also forget that maybe something else that he's trying to do, and that part of his good purpose for us is to be conformed in the image of his son. He wants to do the miracle, but maybe there is something else, sometimes even a bigger picture of what he's trying to do through our hard time and our suffering. Maybe, yes, God works it for his purpose and turns all things for good, but part of that picture might be so that I can be more like Jesus. Now, you might be sitting here tonight and thinking, "You know what, Sarah, that's all well and good, but you don't know what I'm going through." And you know what the truth is? I don't, but God does. God knows, God cares. He knows and he cares. And he is there to help you and give you strength and redeem it and turn it for good. You know, when talking about the purpose of suffering, I'm not trying to diminish people's suffering, and I'm not trying to say, "Oh, it's so easy, let's just focus on all the good parts." I know it's hard. I'm not trying to underplay it, but I'm trying to give us hope that, you know what? There is something to it. There is purpose in it. If you don't have God, suffering is wasted. But with God, there is purpose. With God, he redeems it. With God, we're not alone. With God, we can make it through, and he can use it for his glory and making us more like him. Now, you might also be thinking, "Well, it's easy for you to talk about the purpose of suffering and quote all of those scriptures, but what have you been through?" You know, the truth is we all go through hard times. It looks different for everyone, and we can sometimes make the mistake of comparing. "Oh, well, their hard time was worse than my hard time, but my hard time was worse than their hard time." You know, the truth is, whatever the hardest day of your life is, it's the hardest day of your life. It doesn't matter what someone else's hard day was. Going through a hard time is going through a hard time, and pain is pain. But this isn't just head knowledge for me. You know, just like everyone, I've had my own experiences with difficult times. And I've learned for myself that God can redeem our pain and use it for purpose. You know, I want to share just a little bit of my own experience, not for comparison's sake, but because I want to talk about what going through hard times has taught me personally. You know, many of you would be aware that I've got a 4-year-old boy, Luca, who is pure joy. That's Luca. But you know, since having Luca, I've been pregnant 3 more times and I've had 3 losses. And you know what? In that, all of them were really, really early on. And in those losses, I am so grateful that I already have a child. But for me and Danny, that was really hard. That was so hard to go through that journey and go through pain and go through grief and not understanding and going through a really difficult thing. And the nature of things like that is one is hard, but every time it happens again, it has like a cumulative effect. The next time is harder. Now I can say that in my hard times, I have firsthand experienced the kindness and the goodness and the comfort of God. That verse, he is close to the brokenhearted, I can attest that is real. I can attest that in this hard process that, hey, my faith has been refined. In fact, the greatest lesson that I have learned through that time was that even in my suffering, even in my pain and my grief, even though I might not understand why this has happened, even though I don't know what the greater outcome of my life is going to be, I don't know if we're going to have another child. I do know this, taking into account all of that, God is still good. God is still faithful. I can still trust him. I can still trust in his character. His word is still true. I know that no matter what happens in my life, that I will be able to say God turns all things for good. Whatever the outcome will be, God turns all things for good. Now, does that mean that's been an easy process? Has it been easy for me to say those things just that I said then? No, that's been hard and I haven't done that perfectly. But I know that it's true because I've realized that the strengthening and refining of my faith isn't in receiving the miracle or the answer to prayer. My faith is in Jesus Christ and him alone. My faith is in him and that he is who he says he is and that he's true to his word, that he's good, that he's faithful. That is what my faith is. I've realized when growing my faith isn't growing my faith in getting my answer to prayer. Growing my faith is in who God says he is, no matter what. You know, I think in our Christian tradition, we tend to focus on testimonies where we've received the miracle or the answer to prayer, and then the suffering is an afterthought. You know, I was sick for many years and now I am healed. Praise God. You know, we prayed for many years for a child and here they are. You know, we prayed for our loved one to come back to the Lord and they did, right? And please hear me in what I'm saying. We should tell testimonies. God is good. God does incredible and mighty things. Nothing is hard for him. That's not the point that I'm saying. The point that I'm saying is, what about the testimony of the person who is still in their hard time and they are still holding on to their faith in God, right? What about the person who is still in pain? They haven't received their healing yet and they are still saying, my God is faithful. What about the person who's going through the hardship, who's saying still, God is worthy of all praise? What about when we lose a loved one and we can still stand and say, God is good and my trust is in him? Let's praise God when we see the answer to prayer and the miracle. Amen. But let's still praise God when we're still in the midst of the difficulty. Let's see and celebrate the character that is developed and the faith that is refined and the comfort that is shared and the joy that we are being transformed into his likeness. You know what? If you are still in your hardship and you are here and you are saying, you know what, God, I praise you and I give you glory and I trust you, well done. Because he is. There is great testimony in saying, I'm still in the midst of my hardship and yet God is good and faithful and true and I will continue to trust him. What did Paul say? I will boast in my weaknesses. I will boast in my suffering, in my hardship, because when I am weak, then in him I am strong. If we trust him and that he is who he says no matter what, our faith is refined and we will share in the glory of Christ Jesus no matter the outcome. So my last point, and keys can come. We're going to come to a close in a moment. But there's one more thing. And if there's only one thing that you take away from tonight, let it be this point. I believe that there is purpose in our suffering, but the truth is there are competing purposes for our suffering. I believe that just as God has purposed for our suffering, that he wants to redeem it and he wants to, you know, help us with it and make us strong, and he wants to use it for his good to grow and develop and refine our faith. But I believe that the enemy also has a purpose for our suffering. If we look again at the story of Job, when God said to Satan, look at my servant Job, look how great he is. Satan said these words in Job 1:11. He said, but reach out and take away everything he has and he will surely curse you to your face. Then after Job loses his family and possessions and even his wife tells him to curse God and die and Job doesn't, Satan says again to God, Satan replied to the Lord, skin for skin, a man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health and he will surely curse you to your face. Satan wanted Job to suffer, not just because he was a sadist, although he probably is. His purpose in making Job suffer was to get him to curse God. Satan wanted Job to deny God and his goodness, to say God isn't really who he says he is. God's character isn't really faithful. God isn't really good or kind. Satan wanted Job to turn his back on God. You know, if we go back to the question at the very beginning, why did Jesus suffer so badly? Why couldn't he just die for our sins? Why did he have to go through such a horrific, you know, death? Why did it have to be so hard and painful? I think the answer is the same. The enemy wasn't just trying to kill Jesus. He was trying to get Jesus to sin. That's why he made it so hard and so painful, so horrific, because he wanted Jesus to give up. He wanted Jesus to sin and curse God and be disobedient to the mission that he had been given. Jesus came to remove the power of sin for our sake. And he did that despite how hard it was, despite how much he suffered. He never gave up. He never sinned. He asked God, God, would you remove this cup of suffering from me? But then he prayed, but not my will, yours be done. You know, the miracle was that through the worst suffering, Jesus never sinned. He never gave in to the temptation to give up. He never stopped being obedient to God. Now, Hebrews 2:17 to 18 says this, therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Ultimately, life has suffering because of sin. So when we suffer, we have to be dependent on the love of Jesus, who in his suffering never sinned. He was put to the ultimate test and he overcame it, which means that when we suffer and we are tested, when we go through the worst of the worst, we have Jesus Christ, who went through the worst of the worst, who never sinned, who was obedient, who went through it all so that he could relate to us and also give us strength in our hardest moments. Because he suffered the way that he did and was obedient, he passed the test, we can rely on his strength and his grace to pull us through. In his suffering, we have victory over sin and death. And in our suffering, He gives us His strength and grace, and we get to share in His glory at the end.
I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the Word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.